Nice and early, very wet and cold. Thank you for coming to EMP. Can I just pray for us before we start this morning? Lord God, thank you for bringing those who come this morning to the sanctuary safely. I pray for anyone else who's on their way as well, Lord, that you protect them, protect their way. Lord, I pray that you speak through me this morning, through your word. Lord, let not any of my own disobedience or inability to deliver your word clearly get in the way of those hearing this message to really receive your word and to receive the treasures in your word. Lord, I pray these things in your son's precious name, Father. Amen. This morning, I'd like to share on a verse that we know very well. But instead of turning to that verse, I actually want to take you to Proverbs chapter 2. So this morning, I'd like us to consider what it means when we hear the verse said to us, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you," or in some translations, "given to you." Typically, when we hear this verse, or when we recite this verse, or when people use it, we typically understand that to mean, well, simply, just put God first. God is your priority. He's number one. Put God first, and everything else will work out. But what does that actually mean in practice? We all know that cliche almost within the church. We should put God first. What does that actually mean? You know, and sometimes because I'm speaking to a crowd who's either listening to the EMP message online or has come and made the sacrifice in spite of the inconvenience, especially for the Saturday crowd, those who come here fall usually into two camps. Who come to EMP fall into two camps. One, of comfort. Two, out of desperation. Now, of course, there's a lot of degree of difference in between, but more or less, in my view, two. Those who come here out of comfort know that Jesus should be your priority, but only when it suits your schedule or your location or your circumstances. That's because those are the same people who are operating out of the comfort of their circumstances. So you came today because you live next door, or you came today because you're working in Central today. And so that's very usual, typically. I work in Central, so it's easy for me compared to someone who has to go back to Kowloon or Kuntong, wherever else they work, for EMP. And then there are those who come out here out of desperation. Why? Because they know that Jesus is their only priority right here, right now, in their difficult circumstances, because they're not experiencing any comfort, hope, security, financial, or otherwise right now. So they really feel like they need to seek God's face. Now, the reality is we all fall within those two camps in different seasons. Sometimes we're in comfort, sometimes we're in desperation. I'm not saying which one is right, because we fall within those two camps. But I feel like the answer to understanding what it means for God to be your number one or your priority actually falls in Proverbs chapter 2. So if I could just invite you guys to go to Proverbs chapter 2. And this is a chapter that I meditated over during the latter part of the fast this year. I felt like personally it was very fitting for my profession, but I also feel that it's very apt to understand Matthew 6:33. So Proverbs chapter 2. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity. Every good path for wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So we will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. So if you notice about Proverbs chapter 2, the first part of it starts with receiving. God says, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, it's not about our effort. It's about how we perceive his words and his commandments. We receive them. We treasure them. The writer knows that in times of desperation, for instance, we do his commandments because we want to be blessed in our obedience. Or in times of comfort, commandments are easy to comply with because of our positive circumstances. But what God is saying here is that we are to treasure his commandments. We're to treat it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. And the result of treating his word and his commandments as treasures is that such treasures provide us with insight. Verse 3, yes, if you call out for insight, so you will receive insight because that's what these treasures are. You will receive understanding. You will receive what you're inclining your heart to understanding, so that these treasures will also provide you with understanding. And this understanding will lead to righteousness, justice, equity, every good path. And the key thing, verse 10, wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So this is an embalming, soothing treasure for your soul. It's not just for your mind, not just for your heart, but for your very soul. It's almost as if this chapter is uninterested in what your circumstances are. It's not interested in whether you are in a place of comfort or in a place of desperation. It's more interested in how you perceive God's word and God's commandment. It is only interested in whether you are really willing to receive him as your treasure in all the circumstances. Now, contrast this with verses 16 to 19. Because verse 16 to 19 suddenly breaks out into this whole monologue about the deliverance from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of God. Who follows her will not come back, and they will not regain the paths of life. Now, I think for the reader here, because we know that this is the way that Proverbs is crafted, it's almost crafted like a father speaking to his son or a prophet speaking to a king. And so here it's almost as if it's saying, beware, son, beware, child, of, and it's using sexual adultery as an analogy for sin in general, because that's how sin enters into our lives. It's by way of smooth words, tempting words, things that are pleasing to our eye, things that appear to be righteous, but in fact is not, things that appear to be good, but in fact has no eternal value. On the contrary, will only lead to eternal damnation. And that's actually how sin works, and that's the reason why the author here is trying to say that, yes, this is the adulteress with smooth words, just like how the enemy had entered, had managed to use his smooth words to convince Eve that she can actually not only touch the fruit of the tree of good and evil, but to also eat it because it is good for her. And one thing I noticed when I was going through Proverbs chapter 2 is that the treasures of God and the treasures of this world are actually very different. Treasures of God are given because we fear God. Treasures of God are given because we fear God. Whereas treasures of the world, and by that you can say reputation, stature, possessions, hierarchy, power, your name, your legacy, the treasures of this world are given because we fear men. So the treasures of God are given because we fear God, and treasures of man is because we fear man. And when I say fear, obviously there's a lot of depth in that word. Typically when we say we fear something, it says we're scared of something. But yet, one thing we know is that God doesn't want us to be scared of him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. He is a relatable God. He wants us to see him as our Father in heaven, the loving Father who sent his Son to die for us. Instead, what God is asking of us is to be in awe of him. That's what fear means, to be in awe of him. But the contrast also means that when we seek the treasures of this world, it's because we are in awe of man. We're not just in awe of God, but we become in awe of man. Think of Adam and Eve. There was no other man to fear. They had no co-workers to pressure them. They had no peer pressure. They had no reputation to live up to. Why would they even take of the tree of good and evil? It's because the enemy placed a seed in their mind that man could be great, that man is what we should be in awe of, not God. Around us, we are always taught that we should be in awe of man. It's almost as if the culture now is telling us that we're all special somehow, that we're all unique, that we're all loved, but they will never tell us who we are loved by. They'll never tell us why we're special. They'll never tell us on what basis we're unique. Recently, of course, there's a lot of great movies out, and you know, Lego Batman is one of those films that I really want to watch. Not with my kids, just I like it. You know, I just went back to watch the previous movie, the Lego movie, which I thought was great entertainment. And one thing that I noticed about the film, the message that the film was trying to tell us, because it is meant to be a kid's film, you know, and then the parents take the kids, so obviously the whole message needs to be something that the whole family needs to agree with, as with all these kiddie entertainment. And the key message from the film is that it starts out with a construction worker, and the construction worker obviously is not someone who's special. And the whole movie is talking about how he's actually the chosen one to save the world. So he's like the special one. And it turns out the twist at the end of the movie is that, oh, the prophecy that he's the chosen one, in fact, is a lie. It's made up. Sorry, I'm spoiling this film for those who are not watching. It's okay. You guys will you know, you'll watch it someday. It's not a big twist. But anyways, the twist is that, you know, everyone is special, in fact, including the bad guy. So at the end, Emmett, who's the good guy, tells the bad guy, you're special too. And that really breaks his heart. And then the villain turns around and then becomes a good guy. But as I thought more about it, I was like, okay, that sounds like a really good message. Because people need to be heard that they're special. There needs to be less hate in the world. There needs to be more love in the world. Especially, you know, the villains of real life. They need to be told that they're loved. They need to be told that they're special. You know, we don't know what trauma they've gone through in the past to lead to the decisions that they make today. We need to know that we need to love our neighbors. But the really disturbing thing is that the more we peddle the message that we are special without knowing why we're special, that becomes actually more like us being in awe of man. That becomes more like, well, yes, we should seek human rights. We should fight for what we deserve. We should fight for what we think makes us special. But everyone has a different basis. And what the Word of God is telling us is that, in fact, the basis of God's treasure, the basis of our uniqueness, the basis of what makes us special is because God made us and God loves us. And every time everyone else who says we're special, it's because they're in awe of themselves. And they might not phrase it like that, but that's actually the implication of what Proverbs 2 is telling us. And those are what I consider to be the smooth words of this world. The treasures of God are given as a pleasing embalmment to our soul. That's what I said in verse 10. And treasures of God deliver us from the ways of darkness. That's what it says in verse 13. The treasures of man, on the other hand, don't have that multiplication blessing effect. Treasures of man are soul-sucking. They do not please the soul. On the contrary, the more treasures of man, the more grieved the Spirit of God will be. The treasures of God are used to bless others. Notice the characteristics. What good is righteousness, justice, equity, wisdom, unless they're all virtues that are used to build a community? There's no point being righteous unless there's someone to benefit from it. There's no point in enacting justice unless there has been injustice that needs to be redeemed. There's no need to provide wisdom unless there are those who are less wise who need to receive that wisdom to have differences in their lives. So these are virtues that are given to us when we seek God's treasures, and they're used to build up our brothers and sisters. That's the point. But the treasures of man reverse. They're used to take from other people. The treasures of man, the key characteristic is that we take from others. We deprive others of their opportunity. When you try to raise in the ranks, someone else will be put down. When you gossip about another person, someone else is put down. When you are adulterous, literally and spiritually and metaphorically adulterous, you're also taking another person's opportunity, another person's chance, another person's opportunity to be gifted. You're taking those things away. You're not giving. You're not multiplying. But one thing that I wanted to emphasize today, actually, first and foremost, is that the seeking of God's kingdom and his righteousness first is not first an act of personal effort. That's because God's kingdom, his treasures and his wisdom is meant to be a gift. It is meant to be an act of receiving to begin with. In John chapter 1, all of you are familiar with it, John is describing Jesus as the light of the world. And he's contrasting that to Genesis 1, how the world was made, how light entered the world, just like how Jesus entered as the light of the world into darkness. So as light enters into darkness, darkness flees. Just like when you turn on the lights, darkness does not remain because there's no contest. Light always wins. The funny thing is, actually in John chapter 1, it talks about how darkness flees. It does not understand the light. And that's actually meant to be a description of those of us who do not remain in the light. We can choose one of two things. We can choose to sit and receive here and now, remain in the light, receive the warmth. Or we can choose to hide and operate in the dark. We can choose to be suspicious of this light, prefer to maintain some dark corners to our lives. We can either choose to be in our place, naked and unashamed before him, or we can scuttle into the corner of darkness with pitiful clothes made out of leaves, as a barrier to God's entry into our hearts. And yet, God's light shines all around us. We can always receive him whenever, however. So when we are remaining in the darkness, it's because we've chosen to do so. We've proactively chosen to hide in the darkness. There's not a corner in this world where God's light does not shine. So I think the question we need to ask ourselves is, why do we remain in the darkness? Not whether God's light is shining on us. Not whether God's word is reaching to us. The fact that I'm sharing you this word right now means you're already receiving God's word. You're already in his presence. The operative word in chapter 2 is in fact the opening word. My son, if you receive my word and treasure up my commandments with, if you receive them. There's no effort involved. Everyone can have God as their priority because the first step is so simple. Receive. Receive God's light. Receive God's word. Receive his commandments. But that's only the first step, because then the next step requires effort. And this is nothing to do with the whole, you know, I know a lot of people talk about how, you know, salvation is by faith alone, all that sort of stuff. Yes, that's salvation. But this is about wisdom. This is about seeking God's treasure and God's kingdom. That's when, having received his word, having trusted that, hey, perhaps this is important, verse 4, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. It's powerful. Not treasures, hidden treasures. You know, right now there are a lot of archaeologists out there who, I'm subscribed to these history sort of YouTube videos where they talk about discoveries and things like that. And I find it very fascinating that there are actually a lot of modern day, real life Indiana Joneses. They actually go out of the way to spend a lot of money, a lot of effort to find hidden treasures, to find ancient relics. Why? Because they are of great value. Sometimes they feel like finding this will unlock some piece of knowledge that will enhance civilization. You know, that they will perhaps even earn a lot of money or recognition from locating this hidden mystery. So there's something powerful about not just it being a treasure, but something about it having been lost, having been hidden, that it requires a significant amount of effort to seek. And God's saying, yes, After you receive my word, now seek it. Seek my face. Seek my face like it's hidden treasure. That's the amount of effort I want you to put into it. You know why? Because the world, those who are in awe of man instead of being in awe of God, spend just as much effort on their own kingdom. Verse 13 to 15. Those who are in awe of the world, they forsake the paths of righteousness. So it's not that they are nominal to it or oblivious to it. They actually forsake it. They actually take an effort to forsake it. They walk in the ways of darkness. They rejoice in doing evil. They delight in the perverseness of evil. And then their paths are crooked. Those who are against God and against us spend just as much time and effort building their own kingdom proactively forsaking, proactively rejoicing in the evil that they do. But the question is whether we, who say that we seek God first, do we also forsake the paths of wickedness, walk in the ways of holiness, rejoice in doing good, delight in his commands, men whose paths are righteous and who are holy and blameless in their ways. And that's the opposite effect of verses 13 to 16. Is that what we're doing? After having received God's word, after having received his gift, are we exercising that gift? Are we building on that gift by actually seeking him like silver and seeking him like hidden treasure? And a barometer of knowing whether we're doing that, in fact, is whether or not the effect of treasures of God has been blessed in you and through you. Do we relate to giving and blessing others, or do we relate to taking and putting others down? Do we bless our neighbors with God's wisdom, integrity, righteousness, justice, and equity? Do we share with others that the reason why I'm loved, the reason why I'm special and unique, is in fact because of my weakness and my undeserving nature, because God loves me through Jesus. That's what makes me special. Because God loves me just like his own son, his true son, Jesus Christ. That's where we receive that special nature. Out of that, we are truly worthless. We have to recognize that. Out of that, we truly deserve death. Or on the other hand, do you find yourself spreading rumors, gossip, negative sentiment, judgment, passing judgment, creating a culture where it's always about looking out for number one. It's always about what you can do to stay ahead. It's all about how to run the rat race cleverly, politically, you know, with worldly discernment. Because if that's what you find yourself troubled with day in, day out, perhaps I should challenge you that maybe you spend a bit too much time being in awe of man than you should be being in awe of God. So I'd like to close this morning, if we can just meditate on what it means to put God first, what it means to be in awe of the Lord. And I know that PSAM has been talking a little bit about that in sermons on Sunday, and I know that he will be spending a lot more time this year talking about the fear of God. So perhaps we could just start right now here at CMP today. Let us just meditate what it means to fear God, what it means to receive his word, what it means to seek it like silver, seek his face like silver and like hidden treasure. And let us pray. Let's spend a time in meditation. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for just granting us the gift of your word, that you speak to us even when we haven't yet learned to hear you, that you shine on us even when we don't realize that we are in the darkness. And God, I just pray that you forgive us when we don't see your face in the ways that you described in Proverbs chapter 2, that when we treat your word like it's a word that we only listen to out of convenience, or that we only treat it as your treasure in times of comfort or merely in times of desperation. And God, we pray that you can fill us with enough faith, give us enough insight to see that in fact we should treat it like silver and hidden treasure, God, that we should seek after you just like we seek after a hidden relic, something that will unlock some new level of spiritual power in our lives, some level of new intimacy with you. Forgive us when we don't do that, God. And I know that I myself, you know, I go through phases where I just don't feel like even speaking to you. And forgive us when we go through those phases. Forgive us when we deny ourselves of that light, of that truth, of that thing that could completely change us and allow us to bless others, Father. We pray that against the smooth words of the enemy, we can pray against temptation. We pray against the things that tug us into the awe of man, when in fact we should be spending time being in awe of you. Thank you, Jesus. We can just spend a little bit of time praying for the community. Let's pray for those who are right now suffering from cancer and are experiencing chemo and radiation therapy. Just pray for them and pray for healing. Thank you. us pray for those who are going through different illnesses but have yet to meet the Lord. So let's pray that they also have an experience with Jesus. Let us also pray for those going through different infirmities. We don't just pray for the big stuff, but these things are really tough for these people as well. So let's just spend a bit of time focusing on their infirmities right now as well. Also pray for those who are looking for jobs right now. Pray that they're using their time now wisely and that they're preparing their hearts for the opportunities that God presents to them. So let's pray for both their time now and also for opportunities for employment. Saturday focus today. Just pray for North Korea, that there are open doors for ministry, and we have some partners there. So we can just pray for those who are there, just to bless them and to protect them. Pray for missional opportunities in Asia and for the persecuted churches in the Middle East. We learn about it in the news, but let us just spend a little bit of time focusing on their welfare. They're going through a lot of persecution right now. Next, let's pray for the SP weekend activities. And let's pray for prison outreach, drug rehab, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SPIN, EG, GIC, Men's and Women's Discipleship, Town Hall. So in particular, Town Hall, which is tomorrow after the third service. Pray that those who come will come with the right heart, ask questions that will help build up the community. And I pray for those who are presenting as well. Let's just pray for all the activities this weekend. Pray for SP 2.0, the new building. Praise God for the Sunday auction. I'm sure they will share the amount that was raised at tomorrow's service. But really praise God. It's amazing that how much people have given to the Vision Fund. But more importantly, that it's really about being blessed by God in a new building, because that's a word that we received. And that the new building, it's always been my view that we won't be ready for the new building if the spiritual body isn't ready. So I'd like us to pray as much as we'd find a new place, and that a benefactor, which is also part of the prophecy, would give us a new place, that the body, the church body, will be ready for the new place. Finally, let us pray for the house churches that are meeting this morning, for Mawan, MacDaddy, Robinson Bay, Tavistock, and Westside. Pray that as they go through Pastor Rob's sermons over the anniversary weekend, that they have a really good time diving into anything that they struggle with from the sermons, or really praising any revelation they received over the weekend. So let's pray for their time today. I also encourage us here as CMP attendees to also spend time with the people that you've prayed for. Give them encouragement that they're prayed for. Let them know that you've been praying for them. I feel like, one of the things that discourages people from coming to EMP and CMP is because you guys don't see the fruit of your prayers. And in fact, by engaging with those you've been praying for and seeing the changes, I really think you'll be encouraged. I've had the opportunity of speaking to one or two, and I know that our prayers are working and that God's doing something powerful in their lives. And so I really encourage you, especially if someone you know on the list, just to really catch up with them and see how their lives have been improving, or how a loved one, their illness, cancer, infirmities have also been healing. So let's spend a bit of time engaging with the community on that. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for just sharing with us your word. I pray, Lord, that the sharing today sheds some insight on what it means to seek you first and your righteousness, and that everything else will be given to us also. Lord, I pray that those of us who've come to EMP today and on any other day, Father, is just like the act of seeking silver, the act of seeking hidden treasures. Lord, it's just an ounce of that, the tip of the iceberg. But Lord, I pray that by being here, by doing the extra effort, that we will receive your treasures, that we'll receive more wisdom, and you will receive blessing. So I pray for that blessing over my brothers and sisters here this morning. And I pray that as we seek your face in whatever circumstance, just like silver and hidden treasure, Lord, that we will receive the promises that you stated in Proverbs chapter 2. And we thank you in advance for that, Father. Praise you. Pray these things in your Son's precious name, Father. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Have a good time praying this morning.